Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. Every school day in Clatsop County, some 324 students from kindergarten through 12th grade head off to class without a permanent place to call home. Most are staying with others, but approximately 10% are living in cars, small trailers, or other substandard quarters. On today's show, my two guests will discuss the county's homeless students, the challenges they face, and how living without a permanent home affects the student's ability to learn. Sheila Rowley became superintendent of the Seaside School District in 2016 after serving as principal of Seaside High School and previously of Broadway Middle School and Cannon Beach Elementary. Craig Hoppus has served as superintendent of the Astoria School District for 11 years and previously served as principal of Lewis and Clark Elementary and held an administrative position at Astoria Middle School. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Sheila and Craig.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
As I just mentioned, some 324 students who live in the county are classified as homeless. Do you think that number is fairly accurate?
I think that number is fairly accurate. I think it may reflect that they're homeless sometime throughout the school year and not necessarily all 325 simultaneously. But I think part of that is understanding how we define homelessness. And there are students who are unsheltered, and then there are students who are considered homeless students. And most of our students have shelter of some sort, whether it's living with another family, in a hotel or motel, living in a shelter. So I would say that those numbers are reflective of what we are probably seeing in our schools.
And you would agree,
Craig? I would agree exactly with what you said.
All right. I'm curious how it is that the district is able to track whether a student is homeless.
For us, it's part of the registration process that we provide students at the beginning of the school year in each of our schools. And so we track that based on information we get from parents. And then in addition to that, most of the time during the school year, students and parents will either self-identify, or from work that we do with families, we will identify them as also homeless.
Another way that we often find out about homeless students, in addition to the ones that Craig already mentioned, is that other students will come to us, especially at the older student level. They'll be aware that one of their friends is without stable housing and is, you know, uncomfortable about coming forward, and will tell a trusted adult, a teacher, or a counselor or administrator. And we do find out about a noticeable number of kids who have someone else in their world advocating for them.
Mm-hmm. Are the families generally able to stay together even though they do not have a permanent home?
I'd say in most cases they probably do, but not in all cases. And it probably has to do with also the age of the student.
Right. I think at the high school level, we are likely to have students who are considered unaccompanied youth. And so they are, for whatever reason, no longer with their family. And that's the reason that they don't have a home. And so, again, that's where you'll often see a student couch surfing is really what they're doing from one friend to another, and sometimes a parent who will allow them to stay on a more established basis. But so we do see quite a bit of that with high school kids who are homeless.
What are the causes of these students' homelessness?
In most cases, it's for economic reasons, lack of job for parents. Some of them could be some mental health conditions that kids may have, especially some of the older kids that have left their home for whatever reason that would be. But
well, and we do have some families who might have some income, but it's not adequate to pay for the housing costs in Clatsop County, mm-hmm. Nor are there available places for them. So they end up needing to live with another family that are friends or with grandparents or sibling, their adult siblings. So mm-hmm. We also see that.
With the lack of affordable housing in the county and housing being in such short supply in general, is the problem bigger than it used to be?
Our homeless problem has increased over the last couple years. I would say that affordable housing has a lot to do with that.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I've read some of the causes of students' homelessness, perhaps maybe at the high school level, also can have to do with domestic abuse or other similar family problems. Is that correct?
There are issues in households and families around domestic abuse. It could be drug and alcohol abuse that could lead to homelessness. Yes.
And that would be more likely that you would see a student who would actually leave, be an older student rather than a younger student.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kinds of services did the schools provide for these students?
So each of our schools has, or our school districts has, someone who is assigned to be the liaison and oversee our services for homeless students. And at Seaside School District, it's always been the assistant principal at the high school. And they take the numbers, like Craig says, from the registration, so they have a starting point for the students we know to be enrolled. And they are who other school personnel report to if they find out about additional homeless students. And we do not have the resources for a lot of direct services. There's not funding provided in any significant way to schools for working with homeless students. So we provide services that are just part of our operation, that if a student is enrolled with us and feels that that's their home school, but now they are living with someone who's in a different community nearby, then we will transport them. They automatically receive free and reduced lunch. We connect them with our health care provider that we have in our school to maybe help them get health care services. And DHS and the SNAP program, kids are eligible to get their own food. So we connect with the students and the families with outside resources, and that's sort of our starting point, is to work with those partners.
We, in addition, and I'm sure Seaside does also, Sheila gave some examples, but like we, especially at the middle school, high school, and a little bit in the lower levels, we keep our buildings open longer during the day. And in fact, in a story the last couple of years, not only do we have after-school programs for all kids in our secondary schools, but we also provide transportation. In addition to after school, we provide it like at 5:30, 6 o'clock at night to kids who may need transportation home, that because they need to stay and do either homework, class makeup, or extracurricular activities. Whether it's homeless or kids in poverty, whatever, it's, you know, you just got to think of the barriers that are in front of kids and what can you do to knock down those barriers. So.
One of the things that we also see, and not just in our school, but I'm sure others, is that when we have evening events, like a parent meeting for some reason, we will typically provide food, we'll typically provide childcare, and if needed, we'll send one of our minibuses to particular neighborhoods, and we will transport parents into school meetings that are important so that they aren't excluded because they don't have the resources to attend the activities that support their kids and help keep them informed.
How long have both your districts been providing such services?
Those type of services, which I described and Sheila described, have been ongoing for years, I would say. It's just a matter of what the needs are in the community as to what services you provide. Transportation for students and adults is a big barrier and a problem just to get people places. So whatever the need is, we'll do. We've been doing that for years, I think.
Yeah. I can't remember when we didn't have to provide support for some families.
Yeah.
And I do think, though, there's been an increase in the number of community organizations who are directly supporting homeless students, or not just homeless students, like Craig said, students in poverty who maybe just don't have within their home the things to sustain them in the way that kids should be. We have something called Backpacks for Kids, and Astoria has a little different name for it, where we send home about 100 to 150 backpacks full of food to families every Friday at the end of the day, since they won't be at school for free lunch and dinner. The Assistance League, which is countywide provides an enormous amount of support for kids to have appropriate clothing for school.
I'm curious, is there any sort of, are kids embarrassed to take the backpacks because it labels them as being poor?
I have not heard of students being embarrassed, but I also know staff work pretty hard to make sure that it's done appropriately.
So you have a similar program in Astoria?
We have a similar program in three of our four schools. Mm-hmm.
So. If people listening wanted to donate to those programs, how would they go about doing that?
You know, for me, just because I don't have the contact information in front of me, I would just have them contact me directly at my district office.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I would do the same. Yeah. I could provide that.
Okay. So call or email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's great. What other services do you see these students needing that you're not able to provide?
That's a tough question because we'd like to say nothing. If they need it, we're going to try to find it. But I think some of the services that, in addition, we do provide is if students need tutoring because mm-hmm. their education is disrupted if they don't have a stable place to live. So we try to provide that. There's always a need for good tutors to work with kids, and sometimes that's a challenge to find the folks to do that. We, at the high school level, you know, filling out a FAFSA to try to get financial aid mm-hmm.
for college to
help students with those things, to try to eliminate those barriers. Like Craig said, that's really what this is all about, is how do we take down barriers for kids getting a good education?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sheila described some of the academic needs we have, which are very appropriate. So often, though, the basic needs of a child, and for that matter, sometimes families, aren't in place for students to access their education. So like 3 meals a day, good place to sleep, those type of stuff. So when kids come to school, they're already like tired or mm-hmm. hungry or... And it's a challenge, but we continue to try to identify those kids as much as possible.
I did want to get into that. How does being homeless affect their ability to learn and be successful in school?
I think for a kid that's under the age of 18, a lack of consistency in where they live, knowing when they're getting their next meal. We would like kids to come to us with the priority they're going to come to us and get an education. I think too often they come to school because they want to get an education as a safe, warm place, but they have other issues that they're dealing with, like sleep and food. And some of our kids care for family members.
Right.
You know, and are homeless at the same time. Mm-hmm. So.
And even when we can reach the point where basic needs are being addressed at a reasonable level, you still have the lack of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And homelessness often means that students are in the Seaside schools for a while, and then they'll be in the Astoria schools, and suddenly they're in East Portland, and then they come back to Warrenton, and the flow of their education is very disrupted, even if as they reach each of those destinations, they may be going into a warm house that's with someone who's sharing housing with them, but it still has an impact even then.
Sure.
Did these students have computers to do their homework on?
Most of them do not. And that's one of the earlier discussion we talked about, keeping buildings open longer.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have mirrors with the age of the kid, but just have computers that we check out. Mm-hmm. But then even then, they probably don't have Wi-Fi somewhere. So for us, it's
True.
Mainly keeping the buildings open a little bit longer.
And that's the same approach that we take.
Mm-hmm.
Have they been tracked as far as how they do going through high school, whether they graduate, how many of them go on to college?
Clatsop Community College provides us every year with statistics on which of our graduates are enrolled in post-secondary education. So that's really our venue for getting that info, is through Clatsop. We track all of our kids towards graduation, and I think the challenge is often they aren't with us long enough to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so a homeless student, it's difficult for them to remain in the same system for an extended time. And once kids move, it's challenging mm-hmm. to keep track.
A homeless student is a very mobile student. They move around because they have to.
I think, so. Sheila, before we went on air, you mentioned students can be moving 3 or more times a year.
They can be. In fact, that's a definition of homeless, is if a student, even if it's housing that their family has moved into with the plan of being there, if there's more than 3 moves within a school year, that goes into the category of unstable housing and is technically a homeless, one of the homeless definitions.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with Sheila Rowley and Craig Hoppus, superintendents of the Seaside and Astoria school districts, respectively. They are discussing the homeless student population in Clatsop County, in particular, how being homeless affects the students' chances to be successful in school. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. Do these students need more one-on-one counseling from school counselors?
Anytime an at-risk student could provide positive adult support, whether you're homeless, at risk, it would be very positive, very positive.
And we do have wonderful counselors in both of our districts who work with kids nonstop. Based on our conversation that maybe we could bring a counselor to this, and they're too busy. So they prefer to stay back with the kids. And we also, in our schools, for the last couple of years, have had Clatsop Behavioral Healthcare operate out of our schools. Mm-hmm. And we have a full-time therapist who works with children and families in Seaside to facilitate that connection with families. So if families already have the challenge of not having stable housing and maybe not good transportation, they're not needing to get themselves to Astoria to get to the main office. They can just go into the counseling office where the therapist has her own office.
We also, in Astoria this year, have hired a school and family liaison who is actually a mental health counselor. But his role is to provide support and help for services for families between the school and social services within the community. Works quite often with students with poor attendance, but also with students who are homeless.
Getting back to the academic side, I would imagine these students have trouble keeping up with their grade level simply because they are moving around so much. Is that true?
That is true, and that's true for any kid who moves around
different
times. It doesn't matter if you're homeless or not. So,
I think one of the things, though, we always have to be mindful of is it's not making assumptions about kids and families who are in homeless situations. I mean, some of our homeless students are very strong academically. They have larger challenges to take on because of the fact that they're moving around quite a bit, but they're bright and they're successful, even with barriers. The other piece is, you know, homeless families love their kids just as much as everybody's
That's
family
correct.
Does.
They do.
And so I think they have harder circumstances, but they still have people who care about them and want them to be successful, which is a huge part of being successful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Outside of the schools, what social services are available to help students?
That is a very important part of how we support our students. Like Sheila has mentioned, we got really good quality staff who support our students as much as they can, but we depend on social service agencies outside of the school district. For instance, our local food banks. Sheila mentioned like the Assistance League and clothing. I think a lot of our schools have these clothing. We get donations for clothing from just any organization or individuals. Clatsop Behavioral Healthcare, healthcare in general.
The juvenile department provides great services for kids. DHS is a partner with us. We also have things like the Tooth Taxi, which is a group of dentists and dental hygienists who volunteer their time, and they bring their big van to a parking lot for a week.
That's great.
And they have a couple of dental chairs going, and we've had weeks where they have delivered at a school $20,000 to $30,000 in free dental care for students who don't have that access.
Wow.
So we do have great partners, but we would not be able to serve kids without them.
No.
Absolutely.
We can't do it ourselves. We depend on the social service agencies throughout the community and state, for that matter.
You mentioned you need tutors. If somebody were interested in doing that, how would they go about that?
For instance, if they're interested in tutoring, they can contact me at the district office and I can guide them.
That would be the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is the problem of homelessness among students more pronounced here in Clatsop County than other parts of the state?
I think one of the things that came out when the homeless numbers came out was the fact that rural communities are highly impacted by homelessness. There is a perception in a lot of ways that it's an urban problem, that it's the big cities that have homeless people on the street or homeless kids on the street, when in fact some of the most impacted areas are rural areas in Oregon.
Why do you think that is?
I can only speak to us. I think we've talked a little bit about the lack of housing. I think for some, the lack of the employment opportunities that they may have, coupled that with housing, just makes it a challenge.
We also see families who have had these challenges in urban areas and perhaps think that a small community will be a more welcoming environment with more opportunities. We have people who move into our community because they came here when they were a kid and they have such great memories of being at the beach and mm-hmm. wonderful times they've had, and they think, wouldn't it be nice to live there? I bet that's a place that would work for us. Mm-hmm. And they come to Clatsop County and there may not be a living wage job. There may not be affordable housing. So I think some individuals and some families move to our area already homeless, hoping that they'll find something here that they didn't find in the city.
Do these students face any ostracization from their peers because of their homeless status?
I don't see it.
I do not either. I don't see it.
Not that it might happen occasionally, mm-hmm. but I think other students are very supportive. Plus, we have a fairly high level of poverty in our school districts in Clatsop County. And I think a lot of our kids know it's not them right now, but maybe it would be someday. Mm-hmm.
We also have staff in all of our districts in the county who really pay close attention to those type of things and the needs of the students to make sure that they're fitting in or get the support they need in the school.
I think the basis for all of this working is the relationship that the adults in the building have with the kids in the building. And I think we pride ourselves on we both have terrific staffs, mm-hmm. As do the other school districts in our county. And they're pretty tireless. Those are not 8-to-4 jobs with the summer off. They're mm-hmm. They're working with kids and families all the time. They're going out of their way. They mentor students that they see in the hallway, even ones who are not in their classes. They might get together and say, these are 20 kids that we're just really concerned about. Who's going to keep an eye on these three and just check in with them on a regular basis? In addition to the great community support, the day-to-day staff, and it's not just teachers, it's our support staff, it's our bus drivers who are often the first ones to spot a problem with kids, our cooks, our custodians. They all care about kids, and we get great information from them about what kids need because everybody's got eyes and ears on the kids.
You're a family, in other words.
We absolutely are.
I'd agree wholeheartedly.
Do you see the problem becoming worse or lessening at all in the near future?
I wish it would.
Yeah.
I'm not really seeing a big trend in things changing.
It's ironic because the economy seems to be rolling along, yet it sounds like the problem of homelessness among students is not lessening.
I would agree.
I would agree also.
So it's rolling along in some parts of our economy. Mm-hmm. But again, having individuals who do not have the opportunities for employment that allows them to support themselves and their families, and even if they're working hard, some families multiple jobs, to not have a place to live where they can afford to pay the rent. Those continue to be large issues, not just in Clatsop County. Mm-hmm. I think we see it around the state.
Homelessness is not going to go away. I think what we can do is just to continue to provide support and resources to families, and we will continue that.
Getting back one more time to what community members can do, listeners who are wondering, how can I help? Any organizations they in particular could donate to, or goods they can provide that you can recommend?
Probably the best place to start for us is just donate to your local service organizations like the food bank, because that's where we ask for services through them. Assistance League, Food Bank.
And we shouldn't forget to mention as well that there's the faith community plays a considerable role in this as well, both with providing direct meals and support and knowing families who need services. So reaching out to those organizations. And again, I think Craig and I probably both have a list back in our office of specific organizations. But when you call us about all those other things, we can
tell you those too.
Yeah,
that's great. Any closing thoughts then from either of you?
No, I thank you for having us on today, because it does bring awareness to one of our needs that we have in our school district. And any help, like Sheila said, you can call us. Any help, whether it's tutoring, food, those type of stuff, we can
and
take
your
care
numbers
of.
Are online or in the phone book.
That's correct.
Sheila, any closing thoughts?
No, again, thank you again for tackling this important issue. And again, I think just remembering that there are the kids in schools are everybody's kids, and it's our responsibility, not just as schools, but as a community, to take care of them.
Well, great. That's a good note to end on then. I want to thank my guests, Sheila Rowley and Craig Hoppus, superintendents of the Seaside and Astoria School Districts, respectively, for coming into the studio to discuss the homeless student population in Clatsop County. Thanks again, Sheila and Craig.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Sheila Rowley became superintendent of the Seaside School District in 2016 after serving as principal of Seaside High School and previously of Broadway Middle School and Cannon Beach Elementary. Craig Hoppus has been superintendent of the Astoria School District for 11 years and previously served as the principal at Lewis and Clark Elementary and in an administrative position at Astoria Middle School. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives was engineered today by Joanne Rideout. The show can be heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.